I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional and life coach, making sure that those two areas in your world are nothing less than spectacular. I'm here with Andy Crocker. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jody.
It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks very much. I'm glad to be here.
That's wonderful. Let me tell you something about Andy. Andy Crocker is an aerospace executive with three decades of experience across human and robotic explorations, hypersonics, and missile defense. He's held senior leadership roles, developed innovative technologies, and managed complex systems for NASA, commercial, and Department of Defense customers. As a strategic leader, he's built high-performance teams and contributed to some of the most ambitious projects in aerospace, including NASA's Human Landing System. He's an associate fellow of the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics. He holds undergraduate and graduate degrees in engineering, humanities, management, and leadership. This multi-educational background and diverse career shaped his perspectives that led to The Unconditionals, in which he reveals the foundational, timeless values that help readers unlock the potential for their greatest personal and professional fulfillment. He recently founded Overview Affection, a company that aims to extend the values contained in The Unconditionals to individuals and organizations. Wow, Andy. Okay.
Thanks for the intro.
Yeah, you know, I get the feeling that you're very well balanced. You know, scientist, engineering, lots of focus on details, and humanities. So, is that the way that you've always, you know, wanted your life to go, with a little bit of this and a little of that instead of one specific area?
I think so. Growing up, I recognized, you know, once I started thinking about having a career, I recognized that math and science probably was where I was headed. So engineering felt like a good fit. But at the same time, I always liked English and history, and my mom was an English teacher. My dad was a minister, and they didn't understand math and science at all. In fact, math and science careers were pretty foreign to my extended family too. But I always wanted to kind of dabble in both. And even when I decided to be an engineer and chose a major in college, I specifically chose a program that allowed me to double majors to get a humanities degree and an engineering degree, because I never wanted to completely let go of the humanities learning and growing and continuing to dabble. So it's always been something I've been interested in, certainly in an engineering career, especially one that's deeply technical, like I've generally been through my career. Sometimes it's hard to stay, locked in or stay in tune with humanities and kind of where things are going.
Yeah.
But when you have an opportunity to work in management and leadership positions, you absolutely have to understand the importance of the soft skills, and really that pushes you back towards, you know, psychology, sociology, and other humanities that that help you to understand those things. So it's always been comfortable and something that I've enjoyed, and certainly writing a book and doing other things has all just kind of played a part in that.
Yeah, and you've led teams, and you speak about in quite a bit in your book about leadership work. And when you were putting out contracts, you interestingly enough went against like SpaceX and some of the heavy hitters. So
Right.
you had to be technical, but also you had to motivate your team to really work to their own in degree of speciality. How did that work out for you?
I think it was intimidating, but also exciting. When you're in that position, you can't help but have that underdog mentality and get a sense that, hey, we're going to have support from those who cheer for the underdog, and we can all sort of get behind that that mentality. So that certainly helps. It's a very, as you can imagine, a very technically involved, very complex project. And so it doesn't matter who you're competing with. You really have to buckle down and focus on what your team is doing. So the competition part of it, even though it's exciting and really kind of gets the juices flowing for people outside the industry as well, when you're in it day to day, you've got to just be concentrating on what you're doing, what your team is doing, and how you're progressing as a team and as a project. So it certainly adds a level of interest and excitement to it. But when you really get down to it, it ends up being the same. I won't call it grind because it is fun, but the same responsibilities to just get things done.
And again, another part in your book about accountability is where you do talk about that. You decided to write a book, and it's just not a light, fluffy book in my mind. The Unconditionals, again, we'll jump into it, but it's perhaps one of the most detailed books that I've read on foundational values, specifically five foundational values. And again, I mentioned not fluffy and light because normally you'll read in a book, it'll have a paragraph on, let's just say, integrity. And your book not only goes into what integrity means, but there are sections like what are the values, clarifying it, why it matters, timeless wisdom, how to live it, and more. A lot of detail into each of the five values that you talk about. And these are not light values, these are
Right.
Unconditional love, gratitude, integrity, accountability, and endeavor. I'm curious because, what got you to write the book in the first place, and what got you to really do an extremely deep dive into all of these?
Well, first, I think there were a couple of factors that pushed me to write it. The number one factor was I'd always wanted to write down for my kids, for my children, what do I think is important? And I never really had gotten to thinking about that in enough detail to put things down on paper until my son became a senior in high school. And then I realized I really got to get on it to make that happen. So I started the process, and as I really got into it, I wanted to make sure that I didn't just say, hey, these are things that I think were important and take my word for it, but put the justification behind it to say, this is why. This is why these things matter. This is where we can mess up and how we can mess up holding these values. And then a big important part of it for me was to say, these are not things that are just important today because of the environment today or because of the circumstances we're in today. These are values that have always mattered and will always matter going forward. And then finally, I wanted to make sure that I offered some guidance or some ideas for how you can live these, and not just as an individual, but as a parent and as a person in the workforce and so forth. So all those things I felt like were important. As you can imagine, I got into this a month or two and realized I had way more content than I could fit into a book. But I did realize this is more than just a little journal entry for my kids or a little pamphlet that I print out and hand to family. It's something that I think could be meaningful to other people. And so I did want to go through the process of flushing it out into a full book and got to something that, I was happy with. And like I said, I think these values are not unique to a time, not unique to a political bent, not unique to a particular religious affiliation. They're independent of time and independent of culture, and really are fundamental to our personal fulfillment and well-being, and also are big factors in our success. And so I felt like those were important enough to get out in a book, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't leave anything out.
Yeah, and believe me, you didn't.
I'm sure.
I thoroughly enjoyed, again, I'm going to speak about the depth of where you go into. You also bring in stories of different people and quotes, which really make it interesting. You said you wanted to write this book for your son, and I'm certain you modeled these five different foundational values for him. Was there anything you learned and went back before you wrote the book and said, wow, I really have to change that if I'm going to live to my highest, and I'll just say integrity with these values? What changed, if anything?
I certainly think the process of going through the book, I know this is true for just about anybody who writes a book, the process of going through it, putting it down, organizing it in the way that you're happy with and you're willing to put in front of other people and sort of, be vulnerable, put it out there for the world, teaches you so much. And for me, it reemphasized, reinforced, not only what I think is important, but kind of the order of importance that I really do think love is fundamental, that unconditional love should be the fundamental objective for what we do, and that gratitude builds on that, and integrity builds on those two. The one, to answer your question more specifically, the one that I think I hadn't thought about as much until I wrote the book and really just wanted to make sure that I put them in the order that was appropriate and talked about the importance of them is gratitude. And that is, in particular for me, like a lot of people, particularly, professionals who are ambitious and driven, you're always looking for what's next. You're always looking for, I want more, a better title, more money, a better job, more recognition. And it ties into a lot of the values, but really gratitude is being present in the moment, being content with what you have, and being thankful for what you have. It doesn't mean that you stop going after more. It doesn't mean that you stop growing as a person, but it means that you recognize that no matter what situation you're in, you have things to be thankful for. And as I say in the book, and I think most of us, when we're honest with ourselves, would say a lot of us, especially those listening to a podcast like this, we're really, really fortunate in the
Yes,
time that we're born, in the place
absolutely.
that we live, in the jobs that we have. We take those things for granted so often. And that's something that I learned for myself, and I really wanted to convey to my kids. And I hope, anyone who reads the book really gets that. Having the gratitude, the appreciation, and the sense of contentment that comes with all that we have can really help us to feel better about who we are and what we're doing and where we are And one of the things I say in the book that I really think I learned in writing the book is gratitude is maybe the most direct path to happiness. Just
You stated a percentage, like people who have gratitude in their life are 25% more happy. Am I getting that figure right?
Yeah, there are so many great statistics from different situations where people who are dealing with problems to people who are, in very average normal lives. And whether you intentionally on a daily basis, write down things that you're grateful for, or just make a point before you go to bed every night of thinking of three things that you're thankful for or appreciative of that happened during the day, those things build up and give you a sense of satisfaction, of happiness, frankly. And that just goes so far to build a foundation that then you can build integrity and accountability and endeavor on top of, but also just sort of a filter for all the negativity that comes at us. Being able to look at things with through a lens of gratitude just helps so much.
I love hearing that this was perhaps equal to unconditional love, but that you really found a daily way to make yourself happy, and that is look around, look what I have, look at my family, look at my friends. I have food on the shelf, in my pantry. And that is so important because we can very much get dragged down by the negativity that's out there. But this is really also in addition to happiness, but really building the insides, really checking in and really bolstering what we have, what we, again, what we think, what our thoughts are, etc. So that's great.
Exactly.
Now,
Yeah, I think gratitude is so important to reminding us what's important.
Absolutely.
And that was a huge impact on me from writing the book. Realizing things that had been developing in my life, and then formulating or maybe reinforcing things that I had learned previously, but just that perspective that you gain from being grateful and recognizing that, yeah, the things that I do have are the things that are important, or I want to focus on those things that really are important and put my life in a direction that allows me to achieve those.
And you also go on to say, in subsequent chapters of, not only thanking, being thankful for what you have, but thanking those who have done nice things for you, or in work on the extra mile, or thanking a child for following through or doing something that they were involved with, and thanking them for staying the course. So that it is a large part of our life if we let it be there and recognize. Now I'm going to go back to the number one first stepping stone. And I'm curious why you believe unconditional love is the first step, first chapter to everything. I am not disagreeing with you at
Sure.
all, but I'm curious why that one came in first.
I think for me, I probably was told that or taught that as a young child, in church or in other situations. But as you look across all cultures, and as I said before, I really wanted to have something talk about things that are timeless. When you look across all of human history since writing, first began to be to things began to be written down, love has always been a critical, central, fundamental force that we've talked about. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that is love is really what connects us, connects everyone across the earth. And as we've thought about So often when we're in a professional lives, we think about doing things based on rationale or reason and kind of keeping emotion out of it. But the connection with people across the earth is really what matters in the long run. And so when I thought about how do we translate love to all the phases of our lives, including the professional world and including acting as a leader, how does that translate? And it really translates well and becomes so critical to how we perform in all the different roles we have in our lives. I particularly, specifically, break it down into respect and kindness and compassion. And I think those three aspects of love really do translate across cultures, across time, and across all the functions and duties that we have in our lives, because those things, respect, kindness, and compassion, are fundamental to interacting with other people and just the way that we behave as individuals. So, I really do think that love in that form, in that unconditional, no matter who you are, no matter what the circumstances are, I love you as an individual because you're alive, not because you've done something for me or because you have the right beliefs or live in the right neighborhood, but just because you're a person, you deserve the respect and kindness and compassion that I can offer.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'm 100% behind that, and I want more of that for our world. We'll
Right.
just think how much happier our world would be. And I also like that you talk about building the love for ourselves, that self-love, which is not selfish, but it's a
Right.
way that we can move through the world. And if we experience that self-love, it's much easier to respect and be kind, have empathy and compassion for others, because
Yes.
without it, we're lost.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I would even turn it the other way and say if we can't love ourselves, or we fall short of loving ourselves unconditionally, it makes it difficult and sometimes impossible to love others. So it really is critical to work on that self-love, that self-confidence, self-worth, and realize that we don't have to go earn our self-love. We don't have to go earn it. We don't have to deserve it. We should love ourselves because we're alive and because, we're made as humans, just as anyone else is. Again, independent of religion, whatever religion you come from, you should recognize that you are special as a person, and you deserve love, especially from yourself. And that allows you then opens the door for you to share that love with other people.
And that is, in my opinion, what you just said is the strongest statement of spirituality. We are here, we are human, we all have gifts, we're special. We need to love what we've been given and not
Right.
take that for granted or let the conditional statements and experiences that we have get in the way. And I wanted to just have you explain, you say it's unconditional. I want you to explain and just compare conditional versus unconditional and what it means in these tenets of
I'd love
values.
to. That is so important in the book, and something that honestly I didn't fully grasp until late in the process. I had decided on the five values that I wanted to write about and the order that I had them, but I just felt like something was missing. And what sparked me to realize that unconditionality is so important is unconditional love. That is the one of the five values that I have in the book. That's the one that we've all heard, unconditional love, but it sort of gets taken for granted, and we acknowledge that an unconditional love may be something that a spirit, a God, can have for us, and maybe even say our parents. Parents can have an unconditional love for their children, but then we sort of leave it at that. And what I realized is if these values really are as fundamental as we say, and they really are the things that allow us to be fulfilled and to have the well-being that we're trying to achieve, we have to approach these values with that same unconditional mindset. And so what that means conditional is, hey, it depends on the circumstances. I'm only going to live this value or have this value as my approach to the situation if the situation is right. You know, if the person is acting a certain way, or if I like them, or if I'm comfortable, or whatever. It's an if. And unconditional is not if. Unconditional is I will always try to always behave in this way, no matter what the circumstances are, and no matter who the person is, and no matter how much benefit I might get from it, independent of all those things, I intend to have this value. And that's, I think, the approach that we should take toward any value, any fundamental value that we think is who we want to be. I would argue these five values should be a fundamental for all of us, but you can choose your own if you want. But when you decide this is who I want to be, and it's critical to try to be that person in how I live my life in order to achieve what I want, then you should be able to behave unconditionally with those values and live those no matter what the circumstances are, who the people are that you're dealing with, what the situation is. And so that really was a turning point for me and a really an aha moment, I guess, for me in writing the book. And I hope it translates to other people, because I do think that is a game changer potentially for how we live our lives and how we can impact the people that we're around.
Very interesting that you mentioned that it we live these values not for gain or not for recognition or money. We live them because it is part of us and the right thing to do. I love the quote that you had from John Wooden: "The true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching."
Right.
So what you do in your life is really trying to live the best that you can, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless again of the conditions that are set up. And it is not easy to do, as you said. It takes practice, it takes awareness, it takes listening to what's going on in your thoughts and even in your body. If you get that gut feel of something's not right,
Good
I
point.
really want to check into this. So the last three unconditionals is integrity, and I love the fact that you wrote that, because it's like values, are so interlocked with integrity. But you also bring up the point that we are human and that it doesn't, always provide every aspect of the truth, like a little white lies, like when your wife says, "Honey, how do I look in this dress?" Again, we are, can you explain what that means to our reader, to our listeners?
Yeah, integrity, like you said, it's a something that comes up on automatically for a lot of us when asked about what values we have or what we think is important. But I think we often forget what that means, what it takes to have integrity, and especially really try to live it unconditionally. The thing that I really learned about integrity that either I had forgotten or maybe I never really understood is integrity is really about wholeness. It's about wholeness of character. And that means that who you are in private is the same as who you are in public. What you think and what you say and what you do should be consistent. It's not just about honesty, but it's about fairness and it's about loyalty. And so all of those things come together to make you a whole person. And that's what integrity is. So I think we can shortchange integrity sometimes by just tying it to telling the truth, or just tying it to trying to ensure that there's justice in the world. But there's more to it than that. And really, it does come back to being a whole person and trying to be consistent across our lives, across all the functions and jobs that we have, so that we know who we are. And we're comfortable with who we are, and other people see us as authentic and human and consistent and reliable, and can count on us being there and being that same person no matter what.
Yeah, and yes, absolutely. And also, there is something about integrity when you know you have it, you can relax. You point that out.
Great point.
Yeah, you can relax with yourself in your life because you know that you will come through on what you have promised.
Yes.
And it just allows you to, to relax in your life, to know that you'll be there for someone. And if
Right.
something isn't going well, you're going to be authentic and honest and have a conversation if it's something that you didn't realize, but
Right.
that's part of your integrity.
It
Now,
is.
yeah,
It
now,
is.
accountability, moving on, is the obligation to ensure that a task is performed. It's being answerable. Again, it's like integrity. It's saying you'll get things done, and coming through with that. And again, that's another great one because, we need to be there for people. We need to show them that we're going to get things done. We need in work to make sure that we're going to do and come through with our part because everybody else is coming through.
Right.
And it's just, again, I see them as being closely related as well.
They are. They are. Integrity and accountability absolutely are closely related. And integrity is who you are in a situation. It's that wholeness of character. Accountability is taking that character and using it to go, complete a task, to go fulfill a role. And as I say in the book, accountability is not just about a job that you're assigned, a task that you're given at work, but it's about every commitment that you make, every duty that you sign yourself up for in life. Even as a child, as a parent, as a citizen, all of those are roles that you play, and they come with responsibilities. And accountability is owning those responsibilities, understanding the consequences of whatever actions that you may take, and then following through. And then, most importantly, living with those consequences. So whether it works out in your favor or works out the way that you had hoped or not, it's taking that responsibility, your blame or credit, and living with that and moving on and growing from it. So accountability is really owning those outcomes of whatever role that you've signed yourself up for.
Yeah, and knowing that when we do finish, it feels good to do a job well done or do the best we can. And that's part of building the happiness factor, knowing that we've got the thinking, the problem solving to take on tasks that we finish.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Accountability really
yeah.
allows us to contribute to the world, right? It's
Yes.
making our contribution outside of what we do for our job and how we grow ourselves personally, just contributing in the roles that we sign up for.
Right. Now, the last one, which is endeavor, is interesting because it's perhaps a little bit of a step away from all these internal values, but it's what we put our effort in and what we choose to do in reaching goals and setting ourselves with achievements and milestones. I'm just curious if you can just say something about unconditional endeavors, meaning I and you do have a big section on individuality in there, meaning we're not gonna, we have to rely on our own different self to put our own different stamp on completing these goals in our own way with our own pace. Can you speak a little more about that?
I can. Unconditional endeavor is critical because it's really doing. It's acting, it's being in the world and doing something in the world. I kind of think of the other four values as being fundamental to just being alive and living, no matter what situation you're in. But you can be a monk and get away maybe without true endeavor. You can meditate all day long and still have to be accountable and have those other values. But if you're really going to live in the world, and most importantly, if you're going to grow as a person, you've got to endeavor. And so unconditional endeavor really means that I'm going to do whatever it is that I've set out to do, no matter what the situation is. I'm going to, put the effort into it. I'm going to put myself into it, as you said, individuality, make sure that this represents who I am and not just, isn't just generic. But really, as we endeavor, we're going to experience all these different parts of endeavor and eventually get to an opportunity to persevere, which is really critical to endeavor. It's learning how to overcome obstacles. And then the object of endeavor is really growth. And so that's what I think is so important about endeavor is personal growth. All these other things are foundational and important to build on. But when we go act in the world, and whether it's a career or a hobby or whatever it is, if we're going to grow, it requires that endeavor and typically re requires at some point that perseverance and learning how to overcome and also learning how to fail. And as I talk in the book about my own failures, you have to fail in order to understand true success and really be able to grow.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You speak quite a bit about Edison and, failing a thousand times in order to finally have those amazing discoveries. You also talk quite a bit about preparation, and that's key in going out in the world preparing. And I love the quote by Benjamin Franklin, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. And we learn as we endeavor in the world how important preparation is before we even take our first steps. And I think that's really great. Now, is there a value that or a unconditional that you really wanted in here in this book, but decided to leave out?
I'm always thinking about what values should be either in the next book or maybe the next edition of this book. And there are some that kind of are on the tip of my tongue. Number one, I think it comes through love, but it's also an independent value and one that I just think is so important. It almost w made its way into this book, which is community. And community brings with it, cooperation and collaboration, but it also brings with it service, serving other people. And I think that is so important in our lives that I really wanted to put it in the book, but decided it would have to be part of the next one. Another one for me is wisdom. And wisdom is not only learning what's good and bad and what's hard and easy and what's important and not important, but also just having a love of learning. being curious and wanting to grow your knowledge, being willing to admit throughout your life, no matter how wise you become, that you still have things to learn. I think that's a core of wisdom. And then balance is another one that, it's not just humanities and sciences, but it's also, it's having a balance, a healthy work-life balance. It's having a healthy balance of, I believe strongly in this, but I also understand someone else's perspective. And so I need to have a balanced response. It's measuring those things against each other and sort of living a life that recognizes that very few things are completely black and white, and we need to understand how to live in that middle ground, that we can still live the life that we believe in and that we think aligns with our values, but understand that it also admits that we may not know everything.
Right. I love that. I can't wait for those to come out. I really do. I mean, they're all important aspects of our life and of again the internal landscape and the external landscape with community and serving others and that internal landscape of balance and work and health and et cetera. So, Andy, how can people get a hold of your book, The Unconditionals?
The easiest way is to go to andycrockerbooks.com, and that's the website. You can click on a link and it'll take you to everywhere that you'd want to find the book. It's available in ebook and audiobook and paperback and hard copy, and you can find those all from the same link. So any platform where you typically go. If you have a question or want to interact, you're welcome to find me on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, either Andy Crocker Books or just Andy Crocker on LinkedIn. But I'd love to hear from folks. And yeah, please check out the book and let me know what you think.
Right. Well, again, I really love this book again with so much thought and examples and why we're doing this, why it matters. And I just love that heading. It's been a real pleasure having you on the podcast today. I really want to thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody. I loved being on and loved interacting with you. You asked great questions and you've got great guests, so I'm honored to be on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, you take care.
You too.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.